This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 52 of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. To my right is Jake. You can find him on social media at the McAxel. And a fun thing about Jake is he can fall asleep just about anywhere you leave him. I'm envious.
It's very true. I have the ability to sleep in whatever position, in whatever motion, in whatever... Wait, this is sounding really bad. I can sleep through anything.
Yeah.
And in any place.
We were at a party this weekend, and I walk in to where you were sleeping, yeah. And you were in a chair with your neck upside down. Like, your forehead was touching your chest, and your chin was in the air,
yep.
And you were sound asleep.
Sound asleep.
And I thought, my goodness, that's probably going to hurt tomorrow if it doesn't hurt already, if he's alive at all.
Yeah, yeah. It's impressive.
But you didn't feel that afterward.
I did not.
Man.
I did not.
You're a very limber man.
Yeah, I try.
Yeah.
I try. With me, as always, in my co-host in PMOC. No, BMOC.
That's Big Man
PIC.
on campus?
Big Man on campus.
What is PMOC?
Yeah, nothing. I fucked that up.
Okay. Okay. That's okay.
Yes. He's the pine man on campus. I don't know. Anyway, this is Travis. And a fun thing about Travis is that he doesn't sleep.
I don't. In whatever position you leave me in, it will not happen.
It doesn't matter. Happen. You can throw him on a feather bed and cover him with a downy-drenched down blanket and sing softly in the room lullabies and fade out to black and give him a handful of Ambien and a little bit of Rohypnol, and he still won't sleep.
It's true. Now, I will admit, that Ambien, though, does do a good job.
Does it?
Yeah, it does do a good job. I do like that stuff.
Nice.
But you don't want to abuse it now.
Right,
it is.
Don't abuse it like we do alcohol.
Don't do it. Don't do it. All right, so that's us. That's who we are. Now, if you're new to the show, the two of us, the people that we've just described to you,
yes.
We like to play video games, although we aren't very good at it sometimes in
right.
terms of being able to do it time-wise and actually beating the games. We're sorry at that. But this whole podcast is about how many games can we beat? How many games can we knock off that old backlog? And we try to entertain with that concept. Last week, though, I released Collect Call 2.5. With Alex of SNAS Drunk.
Very nice.
It was awesome. I love talking to that dude. I don't know if it shined through. I think I edited out a lot of me squealing and just being excited talking to him.
Giggling.
But it's a guy who, he doesn't really show his face much on YouTube.
Okay.
And so I've just been watching his videos and his reviews for years. And so he's really a voice to me.
Right.
You know, he's a vehicle to learn all these things about these games that I probably wouldn't touch until he convinces
he's
me otherwise.
David Attenborough to you.
Sure. And then getting on Skype there and doing the interview with him and having that voice talk to me was kind of a surreal, kind of cool thing.
I mean, bet.
You know, he's just a dude. He's just a YouTube
sure,
dude. But
sure.
it was a special moment for me, and I got to ask him a bunch of questions, and he was really polite and nice, and I'm really thankful that he agreed to do that. So please check out that interview.
A lot of you already have, and we appreciate that. It's been a good episode for us in terms of DLs. So,
yeah, it was really good. So and that's a big thanks to his popularity, I'm sure.
No doubt.
So thanks again, Alex. If you ever listen to another Polykill thing or this or whatever, thanks so much for doing that.
Yeah, boy.
For next week, though, it's getting to be the season.
It's crazy that it's already here.
Yeah, it's getting to be my favorite part of the year, my favorite time of year.
Love it.
I love it so much.
Love it so much.
It's Halloween, of course.
Halloween, of course.
For our off-kilter 11, I kind of wish it was 13, but it didn't work out.
Yeah, we should just skip it.
Yeah, but for off-kilter 11 here, we're going to be talking about creepy, scary, spooky stories, anything you send us. Now, we got a few personal ones. Maybe I'll make one up. I don't know. Maybe. Might do a little creative writing. I think it'll be a fun exercise. If you got anything you want to share, something you've written or experienced, do share that.
Yeah.
You know, we'll read those over at during the off-kilter, which will be next week, so get them in quick.
Get them in quick.
Make them scary or, you know, make them kind of scary, a little funny. I don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Just send them on
just
in.
Share.
All right, so that's it for all the housekeeping items that we have to do around here. Let's take it into recent pickups and on the radar. Once you get started here, Jake.
Okay, so I didn't really do a lot in terms of game purchasing. I did make one, and this was at the behest of pretty much everyone, my own inclinations, and just a spur-of-the-moment decision, much like my decision to buy a Switch, I picked up Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Crowd goes wild!
It did go wild for it. Yeah, people were excited that I got this.
Take off your shirt!
I won't do that.
Okay.
I was pretty... on the fence about getting it, not because I didn't want to play it, not because I didn't know it's like the best game ever made or whatever. But it's just, I kind of wanted to get a feel for it. The main reason I didn't buy it on the outset.
It's a big commitment.
Well, not only that, it's just like I didn't want that experience of Legend of Zelda to be indelible on the Switch. I wanted my Switch experience to be a Switch experience and then play Zelda after. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want it to be like those two so linked together that nothing else made sense to play on the Switch.
Do you think maybe if you started with Breath of the Wild, maybe the rest of your Switch experiences would be hard to live up to?
Yeah,
maybe?
Maybe that's it. But I just didn't want those two to be so intertwined into my brain, like together. Because, for a long time, the Switch didn't have a lot in terms of catalog, and it did become a Zelda machine, and I just didn't want to feed into that, and that's why I picked up Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle to begin with, and I've played some indies. Got the old Fart Stew Valley, got
old
some Minecraft, got some, Mario Kart, so... Mm. I felt like it was time, and we'll talk more about that in a bit, but that's the only thing I've really picked up.
Nice, man. Well, I'm happy to hear that, because, I'm eager to hear your thoughts about playing it when you get into it and all of that.
Well, I'm into it, and I'll talk about it in a bit.
Oh, good. Well, I have a bit of a story that comes with my pickup.
Is it a van?
It's not about a van. It has no vans.
Is it a basement?
It's maybe. I'll get into it.
Is it a bunker?
Close. Yes. So here we go. So
okay.
Do you remember several months ago? And I don't know if I talked about it here. I think I talked about it in through other means of the Cartridge Club and whatnot. But I went to I did a Craigslist picked up a bunch of Game Boy games. Right. It was really good. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Okay. So I'll briefly rehash that, because I don't know if I shared it here, but it was a Craigslist ad. A guy puts on there that he has a bunch of Game Boy games, a bunch of Game Boy Advance games,
right?
And for like $60. And but there's some good ones in there, like Shining Soul 2, Gargoyle's Quest, Bionic Commando, like a lot of really high dollar games that are great for collectors, but also fun to play. There's a lot of games I really wanted to get into in that lot. And they all came with manuals, and there were a lot of complete and boxed ones.
Shit,
like this is a great deal.
Yeah.
And so I hit the guy up on Craigslist, and he says, hey, I don't have a working car, so you're going to have to come to my place to get these. And I said, okay, that's fine. That's no big deal, because you're close. That's great. I'll do that. And I went during the daytime, of course. You got to be safe.
Right. Did you take a friend?
Nope. I went by myself.
Dumb.
I'm really ashamed about buying games a lot of the time, so I was like, I'll just do this real quick. It's kind of like my fix. Got to go do this.
Go to your dealer.
Get some games. Got to go to my dealer. And I pull up to the place, and there's decapitated Barbies in the yard.
Oh, nice.
And I said, hello, Pete. Now, that ain't how they're supposed to be.
Right.
They're supposed to be together as one.
Yeah.
In vans, been ridden on sidewalks with little boys and girls playing with all the dolls. That's what I expected.
Yeah.
Not decapitated in the yard in weird positions. And I thought that was strange, but
cool.
I was like, hey, maybe there's just a kid around here that was just a little,
A little psychotic.
A little psychotic, man.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Sure, yeah, whatever.
So the guy comes to the door, and I'm expecting him to just be holding all the stuff. And I was going to be like, hey, man, this is great, here's my money, thanks for these, and I'll just go back to my
end transaction.
But he goes, come on in, man, come on up here, I'll show you these. It's like, okay, I mean, they're Game Boy games, you could have put them in your pocket and brought them downstairs,
right? So they're little gray squares.
Okay, so I gotta walk into this house. I march up, and it's pretty evident that they hoard a little bit of hoarding going on.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. And I'm not trying to pass off judgment on these people, but there's a whole narrative here. So we march up the steps, and I find there's an aquarium with a turtle in it. He's not doing well. He's not feeling good. I think it's a turtle, he's not very mobile, and it's a turtle. So maybe you don't expect it to be doing jumping jacks, and it's
right.
But I was like, poor guy, this is not good. And so he leads me all the way up to like the last room in the house, like I'm the furthest from the front door you can be in this these blueprints. It's not good. There's a window, so like I'm planning my escape. I'm like, all right, so if this Game Boy exchange goes south, I got I got exit A, I got that option. I'm going. So we're up there, and for some reason he feels compelled to show me that every game works. Every game. There's like 40 or 50.
Oh, no.
And he's just putting, and he has this like Game Boy adapter that he's putting. I think he's kind of showing that off too. And he's like, all right, man, let's see. We got this game right here. I'll tell you, man, they work. Man, look here. This one works pretty good. Pops it out, grabs another one. Listen right here. Also works pretty good. I'm like, dude, I believe you. Yeah. I believe you.
Yeah.
I would take all of them if they didn't work at this point. Yeah, I just don't want to be in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he goes through all that. And then randomly from the depths of the home, I hear, Kevin! And he's like, oh, hold on a minute. And he sticks his head out the door. He's like, I told you I got somebody up here. And then he comes back in. All right, so this game here, it also works. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Jesus.
Another minute goes by and I hear, Kevin! And he's like, oh. He walks by me. And then they exchange something. And he's like, hey, man, hold on a minute. And he goes downstairs. And he leaves me up in this room by myself for like 15 minutes. Like
wow.
A long time.
That's a very long time.
A long time. Long enough for me to realize that I forgot my phone in my car. And I was like, oh, this is not good.
Oh, shit.
But I start, you know, I turn into like true crime. I'm like, what's up with these folks? You know, I start looking around.
Start analyzing.
Yeah, I start analyzing. I'm like, first of all, they smoke a lot because this house is just
yellow.
Caked in yellow.
Yeah.
Like, it's not great. So I'm a little worried about the state of the games I'm getting, but, you know, they're Game Boy games. They'll be fine. But, you know, I'm looking around for, like, signs of drug use. And I'm like, I find a spoon and I'm like, oh, I bet that has, no, it's got lasagna on it. I thought maybe it was heroin. That's clearly, that's cheese. I'm pretty sure. I don't know much about heroin.
Right.
I don't think it's.
I don't think
cheese.
It's cheesy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm up there, and I don't. I end up not finding anything. It was a no bust. You
it's
know,
harmless.
Couldn't put anything on the guy. Anyway, he comes back. I get my games. I'm leaving. I'm walking out the door, and I look over in the room, and I see Ma in there. You know, the one who was yelling for. I think it was Kevin, but it's saying Kevin.
Right.
You know, and she's not healthy. She's the turtle. It's going to be close between her and the turtle, I think.
Oh, shit.
It's not good. And so I was like, oh, man, what a situation. You know, I felt bad for both of them. So anyway, so I get my games and leave. Glad I gave him the money. And before that, he gives me a list of what the games are worth. And he's like, I just want to let you know, man, these games are worth a lot of money, and I'm selling them to you for $50. So I'm like, actually, I think you said 60, but 50's fine. And I hope we're okay with that agreement. Like, he's like guilting me into giving him more money. I'm like, it's not going to happen. So anyway, I take the games, I leave. Fast forward a few days ago.
Okay.
Another Craigslist post.
Okay.
And it says, and it's been on Craigslist for forever, and I just got really tired of seeing it. I eventually just bit, because he's like, I got Master System. Actually, I don't know if it's the same guy, but he's like, I got a Master System that doesn't work, three working Sega Genesises, Sega Genesis, and a bunch of games. But again, that Master System, it doesn't work. It turns on, but it doesn't work. It doesn't read games. I was like, well, if it turns on, there's a chance I can fix it.
Sure.
So I finally was like, I folded. If the Master System doesn't work, this is a bad deal for me. If it does work, this is okay.
Okay.
So it's like $100. So I was like, I got to get my fix. I got to get my fix. So I email him, let's meet over at the Walmart. So I'm over there at daylight again.
Right.
So he shows up, and I realize immediately it's the same guy from months ago.
Come in!
And Ma's driving.
Okay.
And homeboy's in the passenger
turtle?
Seat. There's no turtle.
No turtle.
Not that
Damn.
I could tell. He gets out, and we kind of recognize one another immediately. And I was like, oh, cool, it's you. And he goes around to the trunk, grabs the big box of games. He's got a gun hanging out of his hoodie. I was like, oh, that's good.
Yeah. Very nice.
We decided to meet at Walmart today. I mean, I thought we were okay. I thought we were cool.
Right.
Man. So, but anyway, it was weird, but he didn't brandish it or anything.
Nice.
But then he goes through the box of games, and he pulls each one out, and he's like, this one right here, it works. This one here also works. I'm just glad he can't try them in the parking lot, because I'd have had to go through all that shit again.
Yeah.
I was like, uh-huh, yeah, I got it. And he finally gets to the Master System, and he tells me how it doesn't work, but it turns on, and if I can get it to work, that's great. I was like, cool. I gave him the money or whatever. I'm getting in the car, and I look over. Now, this is where there's two climaxes of this story. Okay?
Oh, God.
Because we've been building up for a while.
We've been building up. This has been good.
Okay, this is right. I look over. Now, this is something that just blows my mind, okay? And I'm not passing judgment off on these people, but I am, okay? I can, okay?
Okay.
But I look over. Ma. Okay, I got to get a good look at her.
Okay.
So I just got to know.
It's curiosity at this point.
Yeah, she was driving. She pulled in, she was driving. She's got a plate from home, like a paper plate. Got the blue design around the edges, like you've seen.
Right, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
This is from home. Half of the plate, steaming pile of boiled peanuts. You know, just I don't know where she got them. Like, we're not in the Carolinas. That's a southern food.
Yeah,
I don't know where you get those.
Yeah.
But she's got a whole big thing. Some of them are deshelled, some of them have been gnawing on some. Other half of the plate, right down the middle, ashtray. Both of them going at the same time. Smoke, steam, peanuts, smoking, nuts. I don't know what's... And I can't stop staring at it. And then it clicked back in my head that guy had a gun. I was like, I'm not going to stare anymore. It was a 20-minute drive home. The whole time I was thinking, like, how the fuck you drive? Doing the peanuts and the driving and the deshelling and keeping, like, the peanut juice out of the ashtray. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts? Like,
it's crazy.
It's bothered me for 2 days.
That's awesome.
I was a little like, I was like, oh, that's a situation. But I was like, but she's very skilled.
Yeah. Yeah. She's got her faculty.
I was like, turtle might be okay.
Yeah.
You know, if they're if she's balancing that, the turtle's health is good. The other half of the story is I got home and I put one of the Master System games in he gave me. Sure enough, didn't work. I was right. Like, oh, bummer. So I took a Q-tip, cleaned about, you know, a centimeter of cigarette residue off the contacts. All the games worked perfect. So it's a working Sega Master System.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So guy was just, he just didn't clean the games.
He just didn't clean it.
From all the cigarette smoke that was on them. Oh. So I had to clean everything. It took forever. It was like right. 20 wet wipes to get all the residue off. But, you know, they're in a good home now.
Yeah.
I got them safe.
They might make it. Them and the turtle.
Yeah, the turtle. I don't know. Turtle, I hope he's fine.
I hope he's fine, too.
But, yeah. So that was my story. So it was long-winded, but...
I liked it.
I don't know how you get to sharing about the Peanuts thing without the whole backstory.
You have to have all that context.
I felt that was true. But anyway, so what's on your radar between October 24th and November 6th?
Well, two things. The first of which is something that I already have pre-ordered and will be here Friday, which is a Super Mario Odyssey.
Now, this is the one with Mario in it.
Yeah, the one in his hat. Cappy. Yeah, I'm super excited to play this. Really, 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 really excited. Like, I've seen one, maybe two trailers, and that's it. Like, they keep pushing out footage and new kingdoms and all this stuff, and I'm just like, I'm not.
Yeah.
I am not doing it. I am not.
They should have renamed it Mario Mustache Maker.
Yeah, something like that.
Just throw a mustache in it.
Yeah. But I'm really excited about that, so I'll be playing the ever-living hell out of that. The other thing that's on my radar is something I'm not sure when I'll get, and I'm not sure where I'll get it, but it is Wolfenstein 2: The New Colossus.
Yeah, man.
I'm excited about this because it's, you know, I love the other two. This one looks like it's full on balls out crazy, and, you know, I like killing Nazis, and I like doing it the way Machine Games sets it up. So it is eventually coming to Switch, so I'm not sure if I might hold out by the Switch version or if I might just buy it on a big old beefcake console.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you like we'll the see. Graphics, and that's going to be one that's going to have some good ones.
It's going to have some really good ones. Yeah. So, but either way, I'm pretty jazzed about those two games. What about yourself? What's on your radar?
I'm interested. I'm more skeptical, I guess, than interested. But I have a big love for the Road Rash series from back in the 90s. You know, riding around on a motorcycle,
slapping chains
with chains. Yes, yeah. Yeah, earning the big bikes, and a spiritual successor to this. You know, sort of a fan made, not really fan made, but it's a love letter to this old game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called Road Rage.
You
couldn't use EA's Road Rash because it ruins everything. Mm. And so it's a similar concept, but, you know, looking at the trailers, it feels like it lacks a great deal of polish. You know, looking at it, like you hit somebody with a chain and their physics just explode into the air and fly, you know, like a rag doll. Not, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't have that
that extra layer of finesse.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I'm very skeptical, but part of me is skeptical. Part of me is like, it could still be fun to play if it turns out to be hilariously.
Sure.
Not great. So sure. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
What's the platforms?
It's coming out on PC, Xbox One, and PS4.
Get out of my dick, really?
Yeah, but I think it's a $30 release.
Okay.
So it's a little
smart.
Come to expect a $30 game, is what I'm saying. Maybe a $20 game.
Low risk investment.
Yeah. So that comes out October 24th. And also want to note that Assassin's Creed Origins is another one coming out on the 27th.
Yeah.
And the 27th, a big day. You know?
Big day.
Like Odyssey, Wolfenstein, Assassin's Creed Origins, and the new Stranger Things.
Boom, season two
is
upside
coming out.
Upside down.
So I don't know if everybody can handle the awesomeness
the
that will
inundation.
Be 10-27-2017.
Yeah, it's going to be big.
It's going to be a big day.
It's going to be a big old day.
What happened last episode?
Let's check it out.
Previously on Polykill, Jake ponders Andy House leaving Sony and brags on the wealth of indies heading to the Switch. Trav gets a nice copy of Chrono Trigger from a stranger's van, describes how stupid yet skillful he is at Final Fantasy, and goes home. Jake is still stewing on Mario Rabbit's Kingdom Battle in Stardew Valley and manages to get a little more Destiny 2 in. The many simulation genres and the simulation games each host has played and enjoyed serve as the topic of discussion.
All right, so that's what happened last episode. Mm-hmm. Talked about Andy House leaving Sony unexpectedly.
Yes.
All those indies heading over to the Switch.
So good.
I had to get a game out of a van without using any sexual means, which was great.
That is pretty good.
We each beat a few games, and then we talked about those simulation games, man.
A
genre that I don't play as much as I used to because of the time suck, but I still have
love them.
Big love for them.
Big, big love.
All
looks
right.
Like Lindsey Buckingham.
All right, let's take it into the hot Jakes. Let's get hot in here. Woo!
Hot in her.
It's taking off our shirts. Let's do it. Hit that hot Jake music. EA closes Visceral.
What
the fuck?
And where's it?
Switch 4.0 software release.
4.0, baby!
And those are the only two that we have.
Only two.
EA closes Visceral Jake. I'm a little upset. What about you?
I'm mad. I'm real mad. You know, not that it actually matters. My anger is among the millions that are still upset about this. Big story last week, real big story. Here's the thing. You know, Amy Hennig, who basically captained the ship on the first Uncharted games, made a move, you know, up there to Visceral to work on a story-based single-player Star Wars game for EA. Visceral Games has a great lineage. You know, they made the Dead Space games. They're, you know, really, really good developers and know how to do a single player game. You take the mastermind of the Uncharted games and you throw the universe of Star Wars on top of that. I mean, it's just a winning formula, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they just pull the plug on it, basically. You know, the game is going to be retooled and revamped based on feedback and current trends, which basically means
forced multiplayer.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a mingle player, if you will. But I don't know. I just don't. I really think this is going to be the new normal. Honestly, as big AAA publishers are probably not going to risk the single player experience very much going forward. I think that's going to be a, you know, more of an independent thing and more of a first party thing. But it makes me really sad because a lot of people lost their jobs and a lot of really talented people. Make some incredible games, and now they're out there looking for work.
Yeah, the actual quote from EA's Patrick Soderlund, he says, our Visceral studio has been developing an action-adventure sports title set in the FIFA Star Wars universe. In its current microtransactions form, it was shaping up to be a story-based linear adventure game multiplayer. Throughout the development process, Madden, we have been testing the game We Don't Like Dead Space concept with players, listening to the feedback single-player sucks about what and how they want to play FIFA, and closely sports tracking fundamental shifts NFL football in the marketplace. It has become clear that we wear a lot of suits, our haircuts are bad, and that to deliver an experience that we're boring, players will want FIFA to come back Madden to enjoy football and sports for a long time to come. We needed to pivot that design NBA Live. And that's what he said. I don't know what to make of it, but I feel like he doesn't really want a single-player Star Wars game.
I think so, too. I think, you know, with the with things like Destiny, things like Overwatch, things like PUBG, the big focus is, you know, right now is this big multiplayer online experience where, you know, the story is just sort of there, but you play around it, not necessarily through it. And that makes me sad because, you know, I love the first, I like the story-driven single-player games. You know, I like my Uncharteds. I like my Bloodborne. I like my Dark Souls. I like my Zelda. I like my Mario. I like my Uncharted. And
There's people out there like me and you that...
I like my Skyrims. I like my Gears. I mean...
We're sort of underrepresented because we don't give them as much money, I guess.
I think so, too.
Maybe, you know, but I mean, the games you listed are single-player and blockbusters and make money and kill, but
yes.
I feel like any other franchise that's just starting out can't emulate that. They have to bring in the multiplayer and everything
right.
to get a base, and
yes.
I feel like that's how they feel.
It's possible, but I mean, come on, this is an established studio, an established property.
Yeah, exactly.
With an established team behind it and a mastermind of someone who's made this type of game before, so I feel like this is probably just... I don't know. It feels like it's a lot of bullshit, honestly, because I just, you know, it makes me really sad.
Yeah, and it's weird because, you know, a couple years back, EA was voted worst company in America.
Right.
And, you know, somewhat unfairly, there's obviously worse companies,
right.
Grand scheme, world impacting kind of thing, Nestle,
yes.
Et cetera. But, you know, it was like, that's kind of unfair. I mean, it is just video games we're talking
yeah.
about. And I felt like I'd matured past that, where I was like, I was just bitter toward EA, but maybe it was maybe they were making business decisions, and I felt like they had kind of mended a lot of those wounds.
See, and I've been coming to their defense a bit more.
Yeah.
Lately. It's like, you know, hey, you know, they did good stuff with Titanfall, and Battlefield was good, and they did away with that stupid, you know, $10 DRM add-on thing when you buy the game used, and like, they made... strides in the last few years, and I felt like they were coming back around to having the consumer at the heart of their decisions. But now I feel like it's definitely, they got a focus group and got some, you know, 13-year-old boys in there. It's like, I want to play things where I shoot people and then I can, you know, tell them that I fuck their moms. Yeah. And like, that's what they're going to do now.
Yeah. And
it makes me sad because I don't like defending someone in general, and I don't feel the need to defend someone, but I liked the direction they were heading, and now I don't.
Yeah, and the devil's advocate of that could be, you know, we don't really know, and it could be that Visceral's work that they had put in maybe just was
maybe
really
was
subpar.
Yeah. I doubt it, but maybe.
Yeah, we don't really know, but it doesn't look, it looks like EA's playing their old evil ways again. From this point.
Yep.
All right, so Switch, let's get some happy news.
Happy news.
The Switch, the 4.0 software release. Yeah. Jake, tell me about it. What does it do?
So it brings about some things that honestly the console should have had from the get-go, but it is welcome
games?
That they are doing that. Features. So a few things that the new Switch software brings to bear is that you can do video capture on some of your games now. So before, like, you had a share button, essentially, but you could smack that button one time on the controller.
Smack it.
And it would take a screenshot of the game. But now they've added video capture. But here's the fun little wrinkle where Nintendo gets Nintendo again. It's only on certain games, and so far they're only on first-party games. So, like, you can only take video of first-party games.
I mean, it's a step, you know.
It's a step. So, but anyway, it's cool that you can finally do that. You know, you just hold down the button, and you get 30 seconds of what just happened saved to your gallery, and then you can edit and upload and share. So that's good. That's good for them. You know, eventually, hopefully, that'll expand to other titles. But right now, it is available for Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart 8, ARMS, and Splatoon 2.
That's pretty good swath.
Yeah. I assume that it'll probably spread over to Mario Odyssey soon.
Absolutely.
We do get some new avatar icons. We got the ability to transfer user and save data to another system. So if, like, you're switching between switches, you can do that.
Switcher switching.
Another cool thing that you can do in the new software is pre-purchase software. So, like, you can buy software ahead of time before it's released, which you couldn't do.
Sort of like a digital pre-order?
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. It also does allow for preload. So, once again, another step where, you know, the kind of bringing themselves up to 2016 standards, but good job Nintendo on that. They've also added a few other things behind the scenes, like news channels, which is something pretty cool, and some general stability stuff as well. It also did add the ability to use wireless headsets that have a USB dongle.
Oh, neat.
So that's nice.
Yeah, we're still having to do all that through our phones, right?
Yes.
Okay.
No, this is something you can do through the console, but just for audio, not for chat.
Right. That's okay. Yeah. I was thinking chat. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
But hopefully eventually that will spread out over to maybe some Bluetooth headgear as well. But anyway, so it's a pretty big update, probably one of the most sizable updates. I don't know what that sound is. Stop it. that the console has gotten. So, I mean, anyway, it's just, you know, cool news. Just sort of shadow dropped it.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's like, hey, there's new software. So,
and I'll use that as a platform to say how much I hate auto-playing ads on web pages.
Yeah, boy.
All right, so that wraps up those hot Jakes.
Hot Jakes.
Thanks for sharing, Jake.
You bet.
Let's move on to games that we have completed.
I haven't completed any. Go ahead.
Why haven't you, though?
I haven't the time to get into it.
Oh, okay. You only have the time to talk about why you haven't beaten the games.
Well, let's see. My car is probably totaled. Uh-huh. I've been working a lot. I'm in school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about it.
I'm still feeling like there's maybe, I don't know, a few hours left in the week.
Maybe.
Have you been playing a little Stardew Valley, you know?
I've been playing some Stardew Valley, which doesn't have really an end game. And
right.
I've dived in. I presented myself to Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
And obviously that's going to be a multi-hour game. So,
and a little more Destiny, right?
A little bit more. Okay. Barely.
All right, I'll accept your excuses.
So I've been playing games. Just, you know, the beating of them is, you know, I'm not playing games that are, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours long. I'm playing games that are 200 hours long because I'm dumb.
It's whatever. So...
Shut up.
First game I completed here, Super Castlevania 4.
Now, that's the game of the month, right?
It's the Cartridge Club Game of the Month. What the fuck? it's a good one for Halloween. You know, you're running through Dracula's castle with your whip. My only complaint to this game is the character is a little slow, a little sluggish. You kind of feel like you're moving in a box of sand. But
I hate sand. It gets everywhere.
Yeah. Very good. Oh, hi, Mock. It's a deceptively long game. Because it's supposed to be sort of a remake of the original Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it is called Super Castlevania 4, it takes place in the same time, same castle, same character, basically the same thing.
Gotcha.
It's just like
super,
a Mario. It's like a refresh. Like
right.
a, you know. Okay. And so starting out, it kind of feels like it's sort of following that track. And so I'm expecting a pretty short game because the original one, if you played it straight through and didn't die, it might take you 20 minutes. But it's going to take you weeks, really, to get that down.
Right.
And so I expected that out of this. Now, this does have unlimited continue, so it's nice. Kind of generous in that regard. But once you get to a point where you feel like the game's about to end, it kind of unlocks this other half of the game.
Oh,
and
hell.
It turned into be a decent amount.
Bigger undertaking.
Yeah, I would say if you played it straight through without dying, it's still a couple hours.
Yeah.
And it's pretty decent for a platformer, I thought. So
nice.
I had a lot of fun with it. And it does have some tricky bits, but all in all, just tried and true Castlevania game. I don't know if it's my favorite or not, but I did enjoy it.
Sweet.
And then the last one, or the second one, the only other one that I beat was Secret of Nanner, that is written on the page, which is obviously Secret of Mana.
Yeah.
Now I declared this one as my long play last week. I said I would start playing it. I did not expect to beat it so soon.
Hellfire.
And I even tweeted early on while I was playing it that the game frustrated me. I did not have the patience for it. It was very reminiscent of Evermore.
Yes.
Where you got to wait for that other hit or whatever. But I got through that first little hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that kind of sucked about the first boss fight is you're in sort of a pen that is surrounded by thorns. And you're fighting two enemies that run into you and knock you into them. And when you take a hit, you stagger a little bit. And it takes you a second to get back up.
Staggerly.
And so if they timed it right, they could take you all the way down. Without you doing
a damn thing.
And
it took
a little bit to get back to that. And I finally, I was frustrated as hell. I had punched the cushions into my recliner to the point that they had almost given up. But I finally got past that part and decided, I'll level up a little bit here. I need to get stronger.
Grind.
And after that, the game it went along just smooth.
Awesome.
I just had to get past that first little
hurdle.
Yeah, just really had to learn how the game wanted to beat me.
Mm.
And it still has some frustrating parts about it. Like, you get punished pretty hard for a whiff or if you, it just you kind of have to wait for everything to kind of unfold in front of you. But I had a lot of fun with it. And the funny thing is, now the game's really pretty. It's got these popping pastel colors, a lot of pinks, a lot of colors you don't normally see.
Yeah.
But I listened to it while listening, because it is the season, to the most macabre, gross, utterly horrifying podcast about serial killers and murders. And so I associate that game inextricably now with heinous murder.
Nice.
And do you have any games that you associate with things that aren't the game itself? Like any music that you listen to while playing a game?
Yeah. Like, that's happened a lot with the, especially like the early Tony Hawk games and stuff like that. Like, it's not that I associate the game with something else. It's just I associate those songs with the game.
Right.
So it's sort of the reverse. So like when I hear, The Wrong Way by Sublime, I think about playing Aggressive Inline.
There you go.
Or something like that.
The original Warcraft reminds me of the Lenny Kravitz album 5.
Okay.
The one with Fly on it, or however that song went.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
It was hot, like at the tail end of the 90s, early 2000s. And if I hear that song, I just think of me making, orcs go chop down trees. Like,
nice.
It's crazy. But so this will have an effect on me. Anytime I hear the Toy Box Killer, Jeffrey Dahmer, I'll immediately think of me traipsing through the woods and rescuing Santa Claus, which you do in that game. It's very odd.
That's nice.
But I did beat it, and I thought it was a lot of fun. And it took me, it was 20 plus hours. I'm surprised I beat it late into the night. I really didn't have the time to play it, but I got hooked, and so I think it's a really good game.
Good.
I think it catches a lot of flack, but it's worth it.
I think people generally like it, though.
Yeah, I think so. I think I agree.
I think it's loved.
You gotta develop that taste for it, though. You gotta get past the first few. You gotta take it on the chin a few times, and then it'll roll.
Right.
All right. So for the Just Beat It's this month, because it is the season.
Season.
And I'm gonna change my mood here. This is Halloween. This is gonna be creepy. Our Just Beat It ad libs are going to be creepy. So here we go. You ready? Kyle at Doplick beat Army Men Air Combat, a game about tiny plastic toy soldiers who come to life while you're asleep and try to harvest your organs.
John at Frantic Society, who was last seen stepping into an elevator and waving goodbye, was never heard from or seen again, completed a hat in time.
Oh, that's a good game. It's also Josh. I think you might have said John there.
I did say John. I'm sorry. Josh.
Joe at AC Decepticon, who has the ability to telepathically make strangers deathly ill, finished Just Cause 3. I'm sorry. Finished Just Cause 3.
Yeah.
Good job, Joe.
Yeah, good job, Joe. Catherine at K-Song, who once replaced an advertisement in a local paper for a willing victim and recently got a reply, finished Layton's Mystery Journey.
That's a delightful little 3DS game.
You know, those Layton games are pretty darn cool.
That is pretty cool. They're a lot of fun for adventure games.
Yeah, I like them. Puzzles, adventures.
Absolutely.
It's pretty cool.
Pablo at, it's Pablo VGP, Santiago at Santiago, QRG, and Binder at Binder_guitar, who despite living in far corners of the globe, have all shared the exact same nightmare for a week. They all beat Metroid Samus Returns.
I feel like a lot of people have been beating that lately.
Yeah, yeah. And it's cool because it gives you a little time, like how long it took to beat. And I think Santiago and Pablo were just like 2 minutes apart.
Oh, hell.
So that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Very cool. That was awesome. Mark at Cartridge P2, Duke at Duke 0619, and Darren at Darrow M85, who toy with their victims by making them watch nothing but Polykill videos and orchestrating elaborate schemes to generate false hopes. All beat CC Game of the Month, Super Castlevania 4.
Oh, good for
them.
Been
seeing a lot of Castlevania ass on my Twitter feed.
The Belmont ass.
A lot of Belmont ass.
He's got a real cheeky ass.
He's got real firm, supple.
He's been climbing the stairs of Dracula's castle over and over. Yeah, for sure. And the whip movement, I mean, that's like a Pilates, that's a whole thing, marching up steps, whipping that whip.
Derek
at Deej 13 recently woke in the middle of the night and inexplicably ran out to a large tree in a nearby field to find a hanging body. Finished Super Hot VR. He got VR and
like that's a game that I always thought would be perfect for VR.
I know, and I hear it's different enough from the not VR version that it's worth a shot.
Yeah. If I had VR, I would do that.
I think Brian might have access to it. Maybe I even bought it for him.
Oh,
we should go over there and try it out. I think he actually played a little bit of it. I'd do it.
That'd be cool. Scott at VG Collectaholic, who heard a knock outside, so we locked the doors and the windows, only to see a hand creep down from the inside of the fireplace. Finished East 7, or I'm sorry, 8. Lacrimosa of Dana?
Maybe.
Dana? I don't know how to say that.
How creepy would that be, though?
Pretty cool.
You see a hand come down out of the fireplace, and you're like, well...
Have you ever played an East game, though?
You know, I've not. I have East 3, The Wanderers, I think, is what it's called for a Super Nintendo. And I think the interesting thing about it, and I could be wrong about this, but I think the attack mode of that is you just run into your enemies and it does the math based on contact, I think.
Huh.
Maybe the older ones do that and the newer ones do not. I don't know. But I always thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I know that they've always been RPGs, but I feel like they've tinkered with the formula a bit. Because I know there was one for Vita called Memories of Celceta or something like that.
Yeah, I think P2 beat that recently.
Okay.
Yeah,
and I think that's almost an entirely different take on the East.
They always have very interesting subtitles.
Yeah, they're like the Super Neptunia Dimension games.
Hmm.
Where they're like, that was fun, really fun subtitles.
Cool.
Okay.
Creep 13. Oh, we're back. We're in the Polykillers Club. These are the extra killers.
Extra kill.
Creep 1337, who thought he was still hazy from sleep after looking out his window and seeing an empty swing, was swinging. Finished Until Dawn and Among the Sleep.
Perfect.
Two more great Halloween
games. Perfect Halloween games.
Good job, Creep.
Yeah, Until Dawn is something I want to play and probably will play maybe before the end of the month.
And it's a good time for us to say that we have an Among the Sleep. It was our first ever Let's Play. It was terrible. You should go watch it.
Yeah,
it's 3 years old.
Yeah, go do it. JD at Play and Listen, whose home was recently engulfed in a swarm of insects, clawing, burrowing, and scraping their way through every crevice to get inside. Beat Yakuza Kiwami and Breath of the Wild.
Huh. I've heard he doesn't like bugs, so that might be an extra scary one for JD.
Oh, sorry, JD.
But Breath of the Wild, Breath of the Wild's Master's Quest. Is that a DLC
that's
thing?
A Game Plus.
Okay, cool. So he's already beaten...
Yeah, he spent a lot of time in that game.
Yeah, evidently.
No doubt. It's funny, because I've added friends on Switch, and I can see what games they've played.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like most of them are like... It's funny because Nintendo doesn't always, like, I think you have to reach like 5 hours before it'll count how many hours you played a game.
Oh.
It'll be like, played Street Fighter 2 for a while. It'll just like,
for a while.
But then, like, almost everybody that I'm friends with is like Breath of the Wild, like 165 hours, 250 hours. You know, it's just like,
wow.
People spend a lot of time in that game.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Frankie at Viper Strike, who just recently discovered something in the attic of his parents' home that suggests his father has a deep, dark secret. He finished Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite and Bulb Boy.
What is Bulb Boy?
I don't know.
I don't know what Bulb Boy is.
I don't know. It looked like...
I like really harshing that second B, Bulb Boy.
Bulb Boy.
Bulb Boy.
Bulb Boy. Yeah. And the screenshot, if I remember correctly, it looked almost like it was a Pip-Boy.
Oh.
Like, I don't know what it is, but it looked like a...
I'm going to Google it real quick.
What is Bulb Boy? Bulb Boy.
Bulb Boy. Bulb Boy.
Give it a
Bulb Boy.
Google.
I'm going to put game on the end just to make sure.
Make sure you get that. You don't want to get a Google image of a Bulb Boy.
Bulb Boy, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to dry dog that one.
It's a horror adventure.
Oh, this is good. To the tis of the month.
Yeah, okay. It's a horror adventure.
Okay. Yeah,
it looks very horrific. It looks like the art kind of reminds me of like Binding of Isaac.
With
like
I was going to say
color.
The same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Cool.
Cool, man.
Nice. Bulb Boy.
Bulb Boy.
Bulb Boy.
Bulb. All right, you're up.
Okay. All right, so.
Ryan,
at his rocket sauce, sees humanoid shadows with missing appendages, sometimes legs, sometimes arms, sometimes the head, walking down the road when he passes a certain graveyard on his way home. He beat Super Castlevania 4 and Friday the 13th NES.
Oh, yeah, the Friday the 13th version of the NES. That one gets a lot of shit, but it's kind of...
You had a fun... You beat this, right?
No.
You play it?
I haven't played it. It's kind of confusing.
Why were we talking about this?
Well, there's the Friday the 13th game that came out recently.
No. No, we were talking about this. Maybe I was just watching a video about it or something. I don't know, but I remember something specific about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of confusing and sort of tricky. I think you got to really have the manual know what you're doing to sort of beat it. There's a few weird things about it. I think you can beat it a few different ways. I'm not sure, but I think it's a cool one to beat. I might even ask Ryan how it was, because I've always been curious about it. I feel like it's got sort of a cult following, the game itself,
a few
decades after the fact.
Right.
Caleb, at Caleb J. Ross, says the last thing he remembers was getting in the Uber. Thankfully, he woke up from his 5-day coma. He finished at Virginia, which I heard he said he did not like, and Golf Story.
Hell?
Said he didn't like Virginia. He might have been talking about the state. I'm not sure.
Oh, come on, Caleb.
Yeah,
come on.
I know.
Virginia's a great game.
Yeah.
What's your problem?
Well,
how dare you have an opinion?
How dare
you?
Don't have opinions.
Especially one that's averse to mine.
Yeah, please do not.
Musty at Musty Hobbit was returning to his car from a quick rest stop in the wee hours of the morning to see a figure move in his back seat before he got in.
Ooh.
Now, is this like a... What kind of figure do you think this was?
He just saw some movement, you know? Maybe he saw like a shadow move in the back
shadow.
Seat. He was like, oh, shit.
He finished Super Castlevania 4, go figure, and Gone Home.
Oh.
The one that you recently
completed. That was my month, too.
Yeah.
I beat both of those games recently.
Very nice. You and Musty in sync.
Yeah, we are. We've synced our beats, Musty.
Brian at Hokey Briz. He woke up at 3 a.m. to see a figure in a clown suit standing at the foot of his bed. When he jolted awake and turned on the light, the figure was gone. But a knife was left on the floor.
He finished the Solus Project VR and Heart of the Emberstone. Not familiar with that one.
I don't know what the...
But he said it was short, like a three-hour game. So
I thought you said Harv.
Oh.
The Emberstone. I was like, is this like some dude named Harvey?
Harvey. No, it's
Heart
of the Emberstone.
Of the Emberstone.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Jeffrey at Self-Destructo looked out his window last night at 2 a.m. after hearing what he thought sounded like the music of an ice cream truck. All he saw was taillights speed away. And what he thought was the neighbor's door across the street, slightly ajar. He beat Super Castlevania 4, go figure, and Metroid Samus Returns, go figure, a second time.
So popular
go figure
games.
Twice.
Popular games.
Two figures for you to go do.
Yep, two popular games. That's good.
Very popular.
What do you think? Why do you think the door was slightly ajar? Do you think their kid ran out or something?
No,
or do you think that was the ice cream truck driver?
Oh, yeah, it was just like a late night delivery.
You think it was a late night ice cream delivery?
Yeah, it was like the Schwan's man. I was like, hey, I got your ice cream sandwiches.
But it plays the music.
But it plays the music.
I don't know if the Schwan's truck does that.
You know, it does at night to let you know it's the ice cream delivery.
Right, yeah. That makes sense.
It's smart.
That's actually a really good point. That wasn't scary at all.
Oh.
James at RetroPixel was late for work the other morning. He stormed out of the house, got in his car, and pulled away. But something caught his attention. When he looked back toward his home, he saw what he described as a dark figure standing in the window of his bedroom.
He finished Super Ghouls and Ghosts and Super Castlevania 4.
There we go.
Hey, what do you think about that, though? Wouldn't that be creepy?
Yeah, it would
be. If you're leaving your house and you just started speeding down the road, you were the last one out of the house, you look back, someone standing in the window of your home.
That wouldn't be cool, man.
That would not be okay.
Not be okay.
James, I hope that doesn't happen to you.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that.
Sorry we brought it up. Okay, I just want to bring up, too, before we get into these next two dudes, they beat the most games. They beat four piece, these next two guys.
Oh,
so we're
going to
round out with the super serial polykillers.
Yeah. All right, so Dean at Round 2 underscore gaming. It was camping out in the beautiful Banff wilderness. Woke up.
In his tent.
In his tent. to the weight of a slithering reptile moving slowly across his chest.
Oh, my God.
He finished Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle, Cave Story, Binding of Isaac Afterbirth, and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Now, I know three of those games are on the Switch, so I'm assuming
Power Rangers,
since he just got on the Switch, that those were beat on the Switch.
Yeah, I think so. And Power Rangers on the Genesis, I believe.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
So what do you think about that, though?
That's a good list. That's
laying
a good list.
Laying awake in your tent, or laying in your tent, and then all of a sudden you feel what you believe is a reptile slithering across your chest.
Oh, like, you know, it depends on the reptile. Like, I wouldn't care if it was like a nice cute bearded dragon or something.
A newt. Yeah.
Or a nice, I don't know.
What if it's a cobra?
There's not going to be a cobra in the Banff.
You don't know.
I don't think there would be.
I mean, maybe,
but
that makes,
I mean,
it scary.
As long as I don't do anything to piss off the cobra, I should be fine, right? They're pretty docile unless agitated.
Uh-huh. And how are you going to get up, you know, with the snake on you?
I'm just
going to
sleep.
You're just going to go back to sleep?
I'm just going to go back to sleep.
What if it starts licking you in the ear?
I'll probably laugh.
Oh, man.
It's
I would.
Really ticklish.
I would shit, like, fart, vomit. I would pass out. Like, everything is,
like,
leaving my body.
I don't know why a snake would lick your ear, though.
I don't know.
Make any
because
sense.
It's creepy. It's a creepy thing.
Okay. All right.
Miles, at Flock of Nerds, who enjoys various random video games, recently bought a PS4 game that had no label. Curious, Miles put the game in his PS4, only to find the disc was actually a series of videos. When he opened the videos, it took him a second to realize it was a video of him sleeping when he was a child. The next video was him a little older. Miles clicked on the last video. He panicked. He opened it and recognized it was his current bedroom, and the video had been recorded just the night before.
He beat Bioshock, The Order 1886,
okay,
Super Castlevania 4, right, and Wonder Boy The Dragon's Trap.
Holy hell.
Yeah, good little fun group of games.
Yeah, Bioshock is a good one. Mm-hmm. Obviously, about time you got around to beating that, Miles. Order 1886, I think I read that you kind of liked it, and you wouldn't have felt cheated if you paid full price for it.
Oh.
I find that interesting, because I paid full price for it, and I felt a little cheated. But I did like the game. I did like the game. I think it's a beautiful game, and I really hope that the series continues, because I like the mythos, and I really like that team that made the game, so hopefully they'll make something else in that vein. But I think it, I think general reception to it was just a little luke, a little tepid. So, but anyway, here's to hoping.
Yeah, good group of games. Everybody, congratulations on beating a bunch of scary games this month. I'm sure we'll get a few more as Halloween approaches and passes before our next episode. So, good job, and thought I'd close that out on a creepy laugh, and I'm kind of regretting doing it, because I don't think it was very good. Let's talk about games we added to the backlog, Jake. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I've been cruising through the backlog, been bruising it, been cruising and bruising it.
Cruising.
I don't really want to add anything right now.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I don't really want to do it, so I'm just going to leave it the way it is.
I did Zelda. That was it.
Of course, because you picked it up. Girth of the Wild.
And I started just playing Girth of the Wild.
Girth of the Wild. Big old wild girth.
Wild.
Very
girth.
Round. Yes. Circumference. Very large.
Circumference.
Everybody, if your circumference is even so-so, maybe you don't have a great circumference, that's fine. But Caltech also doesn't. Because they don't have whatever. It's a penis joke. Yep. So this episode is sponsored by Cowden Technologies, LLC. Caltech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of those things. To learn more or to start a conversation about your future product or idea, go ahead and send an email to info@cowden.tech. That is info@cowden.tech.
Attack.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Right, so if you like what you're hearing so far, don't forget to check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/polykillpodcast. You can also find us over at the Cartridge Club at cartridgeclub.org. That's short for organism.
Orgasm.
You can also find all of our content at polykill.com. We have our blogs, our videos, our podcasts. All that is encapsulated there. If you want to get in contact with us, if you want to send us a story, if you want to send us a good pat on the back and attaboys, you can email that to polykillpodcast@gmail.com. And whatever you do, please subscribe to our podcast or our YouTube channel. If the outlet that you have has a thumbs up or a star rating, please just smash that like you're mashing potatoes on Thanksgiving, because it helps us out a lot.
Yeah, very good. And also, you can get t-shirts or mugs if you want to do that.
We should pimp that a little harder.
Yeah. Pimp.
Fur coat.
All right, so let's move on to the long play. Girl. I did Cha and Girl. That might be the first time.
Oh, we got a Cha time. Girl.
Yeah, I got Cha and then a Girl.
Girl.
You know, I'll be getting Petey back soon.
Yep.
My beloved PS4 shared son with Hokey Briz.
Hokey
I'll be getting
Briz.
It back here soon, and I will be playing The Last of Puss.
Last of Puss.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Last of Us.
Yeah, last
I've been sabotaged.
Remastered.
Yes, remastered.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to look pretty on my archaic TV.
Oh, it'll look good.
I can't wait. I've heard so much about it, obviously, for years. Now, is it almost 5 years old at this point?
No.
Four?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting up there, so I got to play it. You know,
yeah,
I'm surprised. You know, I'm honestly surprised that the whole thing has not been spoiled for me yet.
Yeah, same.
Run amok. Okay.
Do it.
And
do it.
What about you?
I don't know. Leave me alone, man.
What? You don't know what you're going to play?
I don't know.
It's not going to be Girth of the Wild?
You know, I don't want to commit to that because I really want to beat Horizon before the end of the year. I really want to beat Persona before the end of the year. I want to beat Fallout before the end of the year.
You need to put them on here. You need to say, this is what... I did that last week. I said, I'm going to beat Secret of Nanner. I'm going to do it. And
yeah.
I did it.
And you beat that Nanner.
I did. I beat it. So you need to just throw something on here and say
just,
right now.
Just leave it. Just believe it.
Declare
that
I will
do it. Claim it. All that stuff.
Do it.
Yep.
So what do you think you're going to get to next?
I'll probably...
I mean, you got Mario Rabbids still cooking?
Yeah, like I'm about like 50% through Mario Rabbids.
That might be when you can finish.
That's probably when I can finish.
Right.
I'll probably focus on that.
Okay, then.
Probably.
So, side quest, then. Let's just go ahead and move into that.
What are you doing?
I played a little bit of Oxenfree on the side. Yeah. Really, most of what I did was Secret of Mana and listened to my podcast about murders.
Okay.
But I did try Oxenfree a little bit more. And, you know, initially, I feel like the game is just a little too wordy. I think it's not badly written. I'm just never in the mood to hear people talk for that long. You know, there's like five characters
it's
talking.
It's funny because you just said that you were listening to podcasts a lot.
They had no point. They're just kids talking around a beach. And I go over
that's
and throw rocks
though.
In the water while the dialogue is going, just waiting for them to shut up. But I finally got to the point where you kind of break away from the party and you go on your adventure, and I just haven't picked it up since then.
Okay.
So I think
you
the
should,
game
because
will speed
that's when the game starts. Really.
I agree. I think it will. So I haven't gotten to that
yet. And side quest for me is just still Fartstew Valley.
Just Fartstew in it.
Fartstew. You know, Stardew Valley is one of those games everybody needs to play at least once in their life just to chill the fuck out because it feels so fucking chill. You know, there's no pressing time limits. All you got to do is just, you know, do your jobs and do your chores and talk to some people and
go to a dance
or go to a fair, maybe go a little fishing.
Relaxing.
It's just super relaxing.
There you go.
So you should do it if you're stressed. It makes you feel good. And having it on the Switch, once again, I'll reiterate, is the best thing that could have happened to me life. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Not
cool.
really. But it's exciting.
Awesome. Well, let's move on then. We breezed right through that because, let's be honest, we didn't play as many games as we wanted
to. It's been a slow couple of weeks.
Yeah. So let's move on to the Dev Squad. We're doing something different today. We're going to be talking about a movie, and a movie that came out 23 years ago, Jake.
Today.
So we are old, and
no, it's not.
There's nothing that ties this to anything.
Nothing at all. There's no reason.
Yeah, we assumed everybody would be talking about their Halloween games and their horror games and all that stuff,
and we've done that in the past.
So we wanted to do something a little bit different, and we thought maybe in the past a good discussion topic would be to rehash some old video game movies,
because
they're bad and fun to make fun of and talk about.
So awful.
And so this first one that we're going to do for no reason at all, we just picked it out of a hat more or less, is Street Fighter
1994,
not the animated one. I'd like to see that one.
Yeah, that'll be good.
But
and not the origin of Chun-Li or whatever that
was. Not the 2009 one
with Christian Crook.
Right, this is the most recent one with, or I'm sorry, this is not the most recent, this is 1994 one with Jean-Claude Van Damme
in the role of
and I try to break this down and outline this the best I could. I don't know how this is going to go. This could be a dry listen, and I apologize to you.
Give us feedback. We'll make it interesting.
Yeah, we'll try to. If we feel like it's getting off the rails, we'll talk about something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah, we'll just move on to like weather or something.
Before we jump in, Jake, are you a Street Fighter fan?
I love Street Fighter.
Do you?
You know, I do. As a special place in my heart. I played it in the arcade occasionally. One of the first games I got for my SNES. And I'm going to say SNES, not SNES, like you bunch of idiots.
SNES drunk.
SNES. It's a SNES. It was Street Fighter 2 Turbo. So I played the ever-living hell out of that. You know, I did play Street Fighter 4, Super Ultra Awesome Mega Edition, whatever that was, on Xbox 360. So, like, I've had a long-standing relationship with Street Fighter.
Sure.
I do think I like the lore of Mortal Kombat a little bit better.
Edgier, right? We talked about this.
Yeah. It's a little edgier. It's your punk rock older brother. But Street Fighter's always had a cool, cool relationship with me. I love playing as Sagat. He's always been my favorite character.
Really?
Love me some Sagat.
Hmm.
But also, you know, enjoyed playing with, you know, E. Honda, the occasional Chun-Li fight. Ken Ryu, obviously your staples. But no, I really do like it. And I like how it really hasn't changed. You know, it's just, it's grown, it's evolved. But, you know, that Street Fighter II era is just, like, fucking classic to me. So, pretty jazzed about it.
Cool.
What about you?
Well, my experiences with it are not as deep as anybody, really. I wasn't big into fighting games growing up because I wasn't good at them.
Right.
And so I shied away from them even, you know, in the arcade. It was just, I would be losing money. So I just didn't take a chance
sure.
at it. I'm familiar enough with a lot of the major characters, obviously. You know, they were persistent through the 90s in terms of pop culture. And so I'm familiar enough with it, you know, just being alive.
Okay.
But it didn't really have a special place for me. And it doesn't
Aww.
Mean I don't like it. I was more of a Mortal Kombat kid. I didn't think it was edgier. I didn't, you know, Street Fighter, it was more about like national pride and Mortal Kombat was all about, you know, sort of the finishing
Factional.
Moves and,
yeah.
and just being bloody and sort of like that more, I guess. I was more
sure.
attracted to that. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. So, but it doesn't really reflect on this movie. I was really interested in watching this movie because I really don't have a favorite character. It was kind of like, what'd they do with these people?
Sure.
How did they make this work?
Sure.
So you said Sagat is your favorite character.
I don't know if he's my favorite character, but he's the one I like to fight with the most.
Okay.
I had the most success with him.
Well, now, back before the movie came out, so mm-hmm. like say pre-1994, so you got Street Fighter 2 at least in the iterations that stemmed from it.
Yes.
Are the backstories of these characters known?
Not
are they
really.
Fleshed out? I mean, there's a little
Not
bit of
really.
A paragraph in each game.
That's about it.
Kind of gives you a little detail. So the movie really had a pretty
it's
clean slate,
vague.
You would say, right?
They had enough freedom there to do what they wanted to, because I'm sure most fans of the game didn't really give a flying flip what the motivations were for the characters. They just, you know, liked the way they looked or the moveset or something like that. I don't think there was really any tie-ins or strong buy-ins to anyone's specific narrative.
Right, and so the movie was directed by Steven D'Souza.
Ooh.
He has a lot of, you know, he has a decent pedigree.
Decent pedigree.
Notably Die Hard,
yeah.
being a big
no,
one.
No, he didn't direct Die Hard. That's not right.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's John McTiernan.
Well, he was involved with Die Hard, though.
Okay, that's probably okay, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying
Sorry,
that he was solely responsible for
yeah.
Die Hard, but he has experience with Die Hard,
okay.
Die Hard 2, Hudson Hawk, Judge Dredd,
Judge
take that
Dredd.
Or leave it,
yeah.
Tomb Raider, Cradle of Light, yeah. which I believe is a recent
Cradle of Filth. Yep.
Cradle of Filth. And then Running Man.
Running
another,
Man,
another
did you ever see Running Man?
I didn't, but you know, it's,
oh, you
I know
should,
it's popular.
It's kind of like a, yeah, it's like a game movie.
Is it really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not based on a video game, obviously, but it's a show about a game show in the future where people have the option to kill each other.
Okay. And he wrote the screenplay to Die Hard, so he,
yeah.
so there's that.
There we go.
So yeah, so decent background, decent, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, good pedigree.
If you want somebody to make a video game movie, that's a pretty good resume to have
sure.
going in. It's not Uwe Boll, you know. It's,
right, and it looks like he returned to video game movies later with Tomb Raider.
So. Yeah, for sure. So the cast of the movie. Now, I really liked it. I thought they did a really good job.
Good job of casting.
I thought so. Yeah,
pretty
I mean,
good.
You know, you got Jean-Claude Van Damme, which I think is probably the character that's least sort of on point.
Yeah.
Because they needed that big name to kind of lead
right.
it. We talked about this. We thought it was weird that that Guile himself was the focus of the movie.
Yeah, didn't really always make sense because I feel like...
You know, Ken or Ryu.
Like,
yeah, because
maybe specifically Ryu. But yeah, it was just like it should have mm-hmm. always been surrounded, you know, revolved around them. But, you know, I guess maybe they needed star power and
sure.
JCVD was the person who fit the profile for Guile, at least, you know, from
would
a physical standpoint.
Would he have made a better Ken and just have somebody else's Guile
no,
and change it
he's
up?
too
bulky.
Too, yeah, not a little too thin, I think.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So there were really a lot of good. I mean, Raul Julia playing M. Bison, I thought that was pretty spot on. Ming Na, the timeless Ming Na, played Chun Li.
Mm.
Kylie Minogue was Cammy.
I
didn't even know that at the you know until recently. I didn't realize that she was actually
pretty
in the movie.
Hilarious.
So that was pretty cool. And the rest of the names don't stand out, but I thought they were cast pretty well. Really, the only one that I didn't love was Ken.
Yeah,
played by Damian Chapa.
Yeah, I did not like that.
But yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that. But I thought everybody else was really good.
Yeah.
So shall we just run through the plot here and talk about it a little bit?
Do it.
Well, we're going to spoil the shit out of this movie, but it's okay. I've said this, and I'll go ahead and just kind of throw this out there. I think this is one of the best 5 out of 10 movies I've ever seen because
sure.
it has so many good quotes in it. It has so many, you know, super campy, super dumb, super cheesy moments. But it does have a plot that is coherent,
it's
essentially.
It's tenable.
And every character gets a little bit of screen time, and all the characters are decently represented.
I agree.
You know, despite the fact fact, my biggest problem with the movie is that it really doesn't evolve around a tournament focused on street fighting and nationality, which is what I kind of wanted.
Right, which is Mortal Kombat already did that, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Or did that later.
But I think that's kind of what people were looking for, but it turns out this is just... Yeah. There's not a ton of build-up to any of the fights, really. Right. Like, you know what I mean?
They all just sort of happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the movie kind of takes place in the Southeast Asian nation of Shadaloo City.
Ooh.
A civil war has erupted between the forces of General M. Bison and the Allied Nations, not the UN, the Allied Nations, led by Colonel William F. Guile, of course, played by Jean-Claude Van Damme. Bison has captured several AN relief workers and is fighting soldiers for fun in his fortress. In fact, early in the movie, just to kind of show Bison's power, they send these goons at him, and he just breaks their neck and is exclaiming how easy it is. So just to kind of make him evil in that first scene, it's like, ah, break your neck. Your turn now. And then another guy runs at him and he snaps his neck, so it's kind of comical. But then this builds up to one of my favorite parts of the movie. It happens super early.
Yeah.
Is via a live two-way radio broadcast, Bison demands Guile secure $20 billion ransom in 3 days. Starts a clock on the wall, which they never show again. I thought that's going to be the movie. It's like, we have 3 days. They say 3 days and they never really bring it back
never
up.
Bring it back up. Nice.
And, but Guile gets all sassy and he calls Bison a dickhead. And Chun-Li is interviewing him, and she's asking Guile about Bison. And Guile takes the microphone, and he's kind of pointing, because he's talking to Bison, expecting him to be watching. He's like, I know you like to look at yourself on television, you sick son of a bitch, so look at this. Hyah! And he does like this uppercut, just to really show off his kung fu prowess, his martial arts.
So good.
I love it. That's
so good.
Why is that not a gif of just him doing that?
Doing that.
Or you know, whatever. You can get Rick rolled with that little clip. I love it so much. So then, obviously, Guile refuses this proposition, and he vows to track Bison down, but his assistant, Cammy, played by Kylie Minogue, she's only partially able to pinpoint Bison's location outside the city, so one hostage ends up being Guile's friend, Carlos Charlie Blanca. Yeah.
Blanca.
And I thought this was interesting the way they gave... I didn't know Blanca's backstory, but I thought this was a good way to do it, is that he's Guile's buddy, and he's being held hostage, and now they're going to do tests on him and turn him into this person who's not a human.
Right.
Because everybody else is people, and that's really grounded.
Yes.
But Blanca is not. And
he becomes not people.
When you're playing Street Fighter, you're like, everybody's from, you know, you're from Japan, you're from, you know,
Thailand.
Ukraine, you're from Thailand, you're from the U.S., and so what the fuck's up with Blanca here? Why is he green? Yeah. So I never understood that. I never read anything, any of the backstory, but growing up, I was like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it was a smart move.
Yeah, I thought that was really neat. Yeah. And maybe that's worked into the actual lore. I didn't know, but I thought it was neat.
Yeah.
So Dawson, who I've always called Dollism.
Oh.
Until the movie. I'm really stupid. I always thought it said Dollism.
Dollism.
Yeah. I
represent a way of thinking.
I know. I was like, yeah, you got your Marxism, and then, of course, your Dollism. but no, it's Dawson. I'm retarded. So he's running a lab for Bison to turn these captives into Bison super soldiers.
Right.
And so Charlie is disfigured by the procedure, but Dawson secretly alters the programming to maintain Charlie's humanity. So early in the movie, you realize that Dawson's maybe not a complete bad guy.
Right. Maybe he's just, kind of a ringer in some ways.
He does have some, I guess, moral aptitude.
Redeeming,
Yes.
I mean, and the thing is, like, in the games and stuff, he's supposed to be, like, a yoga master. So it's like he's more like humanity and peace and zen and all that stuff. So
now,
maybe.
Now, being me, I'm very ignorant to Street Fighter.
Go ahead.
Are the good guys and the bad guys clearly laid out on the character selection screen?
Not terribly, no.
Or did they just sort of freely assign them in this movie to be your Bison's people, your Guile's people?
I think that's how they did it. And, you know, I honestly haven't, you know, I don't know if any of this context that we have with the characters from the movie that we're talking about, it has any other, like, reference points to, like, moral alignments or anything like that.
Right.
You know, there may have been something that I missed. But from my cursory understanding of the lore, no, like, these people are just people who are good at fighting, who are from different countries that come together to fight. So when it comes to how they were aligned in the movie, I think it was just, you know, the whim of a screenwriter.
Okay, cool.
I think.
I thought they did a good job with it. So right after this, M. Bison sort of walking through his laboratory observing Dawson's work on Blanca, and he's like, excellent. He'll do very nicely. You have a perfect soldier. And Dawson balls up, and he's like, you mean a perfect killer? And so Bison, you know, he's like taken aback. He's like, can you stand up to me and call my perfect specimen nothing but a mere killer, you know? So he's like, let's not quibble over definitions. And he picks up, or Dawson says, because not like you, he's not psychotic. Like, he's not crazy like you are. And that really pisses off Bison. He gets a little Darth Vader about him, kind of picks it up and throws him. Yeah. He doesn't like that.
Like being talked back to.
But it also, so at this point, I'm like, man, I like this Dawson guy. You know, he's pretty sweet. Like, he's standing up to the bad guy.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty cool. So where am I at here? God, I've lost my place.
Lost track.
So it kind of cuts to this arena where there's some actual kind of underground street fighting going on, and that's where you get introduced to Vega, whom I think looks real good in this.
Real good.
I think there's a good version of Vega.
I loved, you know, like I've talked about this before. I think maybe when we talked about this on something else, I don't remember. I don't know where I had this conversation, but you know, when we watch video game movies as players of video games, sometimes we get a little irked when they adapt costumes or looks of characters that we know from games, and then they translate that to a movie, and it's not always one to one. It's always like some kind of variant or just completely changed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's getting less and less common as games have modernized, and like they're trying to, like, you know, like when they did the Assassin's Creed movie, they didn't really need to because the Assassin's Creed costumes already look cool and they're sort of based in history, so you don't have to adapt. But like when you had these early games from the 90s, you know, the costuming was so broad and the character design was so different and sort of bigger than life. When you brought that to the screen, you had to, you know, kind of ground that a bit, so they always, like, you know, mess with things. But with this movie, they really didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
They kind of left everything just as it late in the game.
Like later in the movie, you know, after he's been locked up, and then they kind of cut into when everybody's escaping and fighting, Balrog suddenly has boxing gloves.
Yeah, he's in his gym outfit and he has boxing gloves. Like, where the fuck did you get those?
Yeah, and I thought that was funny. But and I think I wonder if part of this movie is written purposely to be like that. Like, you can tell there's holes in it where you're like, okay, they were trying to be funny there. Like, that they didn't, this is not an oversight.
Right.
They were trying
It's certainly possible.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, you know, when we're talking about Vega, I mean, he looks exactly like he does in the game. You know, he's got the mask and the claw and the tight pants and the no shirt and the tattoo, and it looks exactly like he does in the game. And when you look at, Zangief in the movie. You know, it's just, you know, perfect, you know, representation of Zangief. So, like, the only one, while we're talking about this, that really didn't fit 100% was the lead. Guile.
Yeah. Needed taller hair. Heavier set, I guess. And again, I never took Guile as being the window to the universe.
I think it's probably because he's the American one, and this is an American-made movie, so they were like, it's America, fuck yeah. I don't know.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme with his Belgium accent with the American flag tattooed.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Just so you're like, he's American, that's right. Don't forget that he's not
from one of these other places.
Yeah.
got that America.
Yeah, but this also is another funny part of the movie, because Ken and Ryu, they're trying to sell Sagat some bad weapons, and so they kind of work out the deal. And it's funny because when they walk in, they say something like, isn't there a curfew at 7? And Sagat's like, nobody tells me what to do. And immediately it cuts to a helicopter flying over that's like, curfew's at 7! Like, it was kind of like a funny moment where Sagat kind of isn't in his control as he thought. Anyway, the weapons that Ryu and Ken sell them are just tennis ball launchers. And so to punish them, they make Ken and Ryu fight Vega. And as he's getting ready to fight him, like, they go through this whole thing, and they say no weapons because they want a street fight. So you're like, oh wow, we're about to see a fight scene. Then Jean-Claude Van Damme or Guile burst through the wall of the place in a tank because of the curfew and gets out, and he's like, you are all arrested. And immediately I'm like, that's a little over the top for, like, he didn't know there weren't people on the other side of that wall. He just burst through a wall with a tank to tell people that, like, they stayed up too late.
You have to remember, we were barely out of the 80s when this movie got made. People didn't care about people on the other side of walls in the 80s.
It was crazy. Like,
Kool-Aid man.
Like, that didn't seem representative of an action to
That's
take.
Not a military strategy.
I love that part, though. He just gets down. He's like, you are all arrested. Yeah. It's like, for being up past 7? Yeah, fighting?
Come on, man.
Whatever.
Get over yourself.
And then this is followed by another really crazy funny part. Is back at the AN base, they're trying to come up with a plan for how to attack Bison's quarters. And so Cammy is talking about it. And then suddenly this crazed dude runs into the room. Like, all these military AN dudes in their camouflage in a meeting room. There's guards everywhere. This dude just runs in with the knife onto the table to stab, and then, you know, Jean-Claude or Guile, you know, disarms him and slams him on the table. And it's like, how the fuck did that guy get into a base? Like, he wasn't, you know, it was really weird, but I thought that was funny. I don't even know what point they were trying to make there.
Yeah,
but
hard to say.
It got me going.
Hard to say.
So then it kind of gets to where we start to see the flip where Guile is, he kind of sees Ken and Ryu. They've been, he took them in from the, being at a curfew.
Right.
And he's like, I think, you know, maybe we can get the Sagat through these guys. And he drops this fantastic line because Cammy says, there's no way Sagat will trust anybody new. Like, you're not going to be able to get to him. I know you're trying to get to Bison through Sagat because of the weapons, but he's not going to trust anybody. And so Guile's logic is, as he's looking down at Ken and Ryu fighting in the yard, he's like, if Sagat won't trust new friends, perhaps he'll trust new enemies. Like, how the fuck does that make sense?
Yeah.
How the fuck is, like, that makes no, there's no... Yeah.
You're trying to be poignant, but no. It just falls completely flat.
And Cammy just nods. She's like, smartest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, good.
And I'm
good.
Like,
do that.
So he won't trust, but he will trust the... What the fuck?
No, makes no sense.
So they give Ken and Ryu a homing device to get, they're trying to find Sagat's base. And this is, another really funny part in that the media outcry for Bison is they're calling him an evil warlord. And he takes offense to it. And he goes on this big spiel about how he's not evil and he's not a madman. And he follows it up by saying, all I want to do is create a perfect genetic soldier, not for power, not for evil, but for good. Blanco will be my first of many. They shall march out of my laboratory and sweep away every adversary, every creed, every nation, until the very planet is in the loving grip of Pax Bisonica. And then peace will reign in the world, and all humanity shall bow to me in humble gratitude. I am not a madman. I don't know where you're getting this.
Yeah.
You seem to be misinformed. And then it cuts to Zangief, who's like, that was beautiful, man. He's like my favorite comedic relief.
He's good. It's good.
So at this point, Chun-Li is, she's going to break in. She's followed the tracker and she's going to break in. This is after they make an escape and they've planned elaborately that Jean-Claude Van Damme's character would be shot by Ken and fake his own death.
Right.
And be taken away. And so she follows him and she gets in there and she gets into the morgue. The tracker takes her into the morgue and she's creeping around and she finds Guile's character, and he's under the sheet, and she, for whatever reason, lifts it up after having seen him die. She's pretty sure he's dead. She lifts up the sheet, I guess, just to double check, like, oh yeah,
pretty
dead. And she puts the sheet back down and she kind of walks away, and then Guile's character just sits up straight and then, like, just starts talking to her like he waited in the morgue.
Right.
Who knows how long.
How long?
Still, even waited for the blanket to be put down, and again, just waited for him. He's just trying to scare her.
I mean, feel like, honestly, I would do that. I really feel like I would.
Do you think
that.
You'd be so committed to, like, your whole plan is like, I'll get shot and then I'll scare Chun-Li. It might take hours, might take days, it might never happen. I'll be in a morgue. Who knows? Who knows what'll happen? Maybe I'll get cremated before any of this happens.
Yeah. So I feel like I'd still try to do that.
It was really silly, but I loved it. But then it kind of fast forwards, and they've come up with a plan. They're going to blow up Bison's headquarters.
Yes.
And they have all these, they're going to send a truck down, blow it up with Sagat in there, and Ken and Ryu are in there or whatever. But they broadcast it on TV. She comes across, she's like, hey, we're going to blow up your base. And then it shows, like, the truck going down the hill. Like, why would you tell them?
Why would you announce that?
Yeah, at all.
And nice job, guys.
At that point, Zangief's like, oh, no, change the channel. I'm like, I gotta love that guy. He's just so funny. But so anyway, they escape. And it cuts to E. Honda being spanked. You know, it's getting a little saucy. You know, big old E. Honda. He says he was a former, I guess, sumo fighter.
Right.
And he's tied up sort of in these wrist shackles, and he's just being spanked, and he's just sort of chilling, just
like,
taking it.
Cool with it.
And so the guy gets mad and leaves because he's not having any effect that he intended. And Balrog is chained up, not wearing his boxing gloves this time, I don't think.
Just for no reason. Just barehanded.
He's chained up, and he realizes that E. Honda can get loose, and so he's like, hey, man, give me a hand here. And E. Honda's like, we've only been locked up for 2 hours, maybe in another 2 months. I'm like, was that a hand job joke?
I think it was us.
Was he wanting?
Had to be.
Was E. Honda, like, thinking, like, well, no more hand
jobs? He's seen that thousand hand slap. You know he can get him off pretty quick.
Yeah, that's true.
He's like, give me a second, man.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll get you there.
So that was kind of weird, honestly.
It was pretty funny.
So then fast forward a little bit, the AN officer comes and tells Guile
for some reason.
For some reason.
Yeah,
he's like, it's not worth it. We don't have the money. We're just going to forget these hostages.
They're fine.
And we're not going to fight the war. And another hilarious part of the movie, unintentionally hilarious, Guile goes up to the microphone with all of his soldiers waiting, and he says, troopers, we have just received new orders. My superiors say the war is canceled. We can all go home. the war is canceled. We can all. But then he goes on this whole spiel about
right,
how
he goes on this Braveheart-esque speech.
Yeah, they might cancel it, but we're not going home or whatever. But
our brothers and sisters.
Do you think that's how it goes?
No.
Do you think just you know that the very culmination of World War II, they just somebody was like, all right, gentlemen, war's canceled. I know you were ready to go.
We can all go home.
We can all go home. So then, you know, I kind of start taking rigid notes at this point because really it turns into more of a really big action movie.
It does. Like it splinters off and becomes, just all out craziness.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the setup is kind of funny because then you kind of they're really taking you through. They're giving each character a little time and this is right. How they're going to play into it. And then the very end of it, everybody's just kind of fighting, which is kind of fun. It's really silly and the special effects are terrible. And even a lot of the fight sequences are just really bad.
It's laughable.
Like you said, elaborate close-ups of biceps and
boy.
And stuff like that. No mysticism. No Hadouken.
That was a point that I was going to make. I feel like they're like the special moves. Like I feel like they didn't include them to keep it grounded to an extent. But I would have loved to have seen like Thousand Hand Slap or the Hadouken or the.
Yeah.
There was a slight. What is the punch that Ken does?
I don't know.
I want to say Tiger Punch, but I think that's the Sagat version of the same thing. But anyway, like the spinning uppercut, we do get one of those, but it's not like. Magnified like it is in the game. It's just like he just does it.
Yeah, and Ryu does sort
he does
of
like
a Hadouken,
the hand thing, but,
and the guy flies backward. But there's no. Yeah, that's one of the complaints I have is that the movie was a little too grounded.
I would have liked it to be a little more like it kind of fell in that like no man's land of being, like the reality was heightened to an extent where you knew it wasn't real, but it also wasn't. It never went beyond it to like. Be okay with being a fantasy.
Right. And there's some weird things that happen. Like, for instance, there's this boat that Guile has that is, I guess it refracts light or something. Supposedly
still invisible. Technology. Yeah, I was going to say, we got to talk about the boat.
Yeah. And it's another silly part of the movie because when it's not on the radar, the water's not moving.
Right.
But then when they can see it, it's just a boat.
Right.
And he can zoom in enough to where he can tell, like, Bison can tell that it's a boat. And he's like, why? Who is it? Who's in the boat? But it says William F. Guile on the side of the boat. Says that. But that was a part of their plan because he's like, Guile goes in the room, he's talking to his soldiers, and he's like, we can't do this, we can't come from the air, we can't do this. Our only option is to go up this River Delta on a boat. And one guy stands up and has the worst delivery ever, but he's like, that'd be impossible, it's too dangerous. And he's like, I know, which is why I will do it myself. It's like, yeah, this is a setup to make him a hero, for sure. But yeah, he blasts in on that fucking boat, and I love it. But the whole end of the movie is just them fighting. He fights Guile in Bison fight, which is
really one-sided.
Yeah, and it's maybe
really
the peak of the movie. I mean, he tosses Guile into this thing, and Guile, this is when it does kind of get mystical in that he can now suddenly fly, and he soars through the air at him. You can tell he's on a rope swinging.
Right.
And, it's kind of silly. But, that's basically the plot. And then at the very end, after they fight, I think a lot of Guile's or Bison's men escape. There's some funny lines, like
right.
Zangief, or DJ, who's one of Bison's right-hand men, escapes with a bunch of Bison dollars,
right?
And he says something about getting paid, or why were you supporting Bison? He's like, well, that's what he paid me to do. And Zangief was like, cool, wait a minute, you got paid? And so that was pretty good.
Yeah,
but all in all, I mean, I guess maybe we won't spoil the end, but you kind of know who emerges the hero. I thought it was pretty good. I kind of regret not seeing, or I hate that we didn't get to see more of Blanca. You know, he kind of comes out and he's green, but he doesn't really do much. It kind of rushes itself at the end, I think.
Very much. Yeah. It doesn't. There's no payoff to that. Subplot at all.
Yeah, I was really just. I mean, he's not hulking. I guess they do make an allusion that like he's now. Trained, like he's mentally trained to be a monster, but he's not gotten the steroids that make him strong yet.
Yeah.
I think they mentioned that. But at one point, I think Guile was going to kill him, and Dalsam talks him out of it.
So
I think they were really, because all the every character manages to survive the movie, and I believe they were going to do a second one.
Yeah, I think they were, but it just sort of flopped.
Yeah, I mean, it was a decent setup for that. I mean, everybody, you kind of know everybody's got a faction, and you're really familiar with the characters now. You know enough of the backstory for now, we can actually go deeper on this, even though it's going to be campy and probably terrible. I would have been down.
Yeah.
If they had maybe set it up to where there's some tournament or Bison holds a tournament and they actually do a lot lot of one-on-one fighting. Maybe they have to fight friends or something like that. Like, that would have really been good, cool. Yeah. I think. You know, even with the shitty choreographed fights and the campy
and the
shit.
The quick cuts and the bad camera angles and the costumes that were bought at
It would have been a fun movie, man.
Yeah.
I think it would have been fun. It's just a popcorn kind of fun time. So, I don't know. What'd you think?
I mean, it's obviously not a good movie, but it's a fun movie, and it's something that, you know, I've seen it a few times, and it's very entertaining. It's very entertaining, and it's always fun to see, like, characters that you enjoy playing as in video games on the screen. It's just, there's something fun about that.
Yeah, I would plant this firmly between Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat Annihilation, because I feel like that's the closest.
Yeah, it's
thing
definitely better than
to.
Annihilation, but not as good as the first Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. I think it's easy to compare them because it's Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat.
Yep.
And,
absolutely.
I think in terms of the movie, Mortal Kombat did come out on top in terms of what I think about it, but.
Yes, I agree.
So is that pretty much all you got on the movie, man? I mean,
That's
we kind of went through the plot. We made fun of it a little bit.
Yeah,
real campy, real funny.
I really liked certain parts, and then other parts I thought were just, you know, okay, and then other parts I thought were really dumb.
But even the really dumb parts were just charming.
Yeah, endearing.
Yeah.
Very much so.
For sure. All right, cool. Well, that does it for our first, movie kind of review. I enjoyed watching movies and talking about them. So.
Lame.
If you haven't seen the movie,
I mean,
go do it.
Same.
If we did spoil quite a bit of it.
We did,
but
yeah. So don't.
It's still worth it. You got to see.
Yeah, I mean, you're
going
to know that we're going to talk about it in the description. So if you're this far, then it's your fault if it gets spoiled.
Yeah. There you go. We probably titled it something that has to do with the movie too. Who knows? We haven't done that yet. All right. So that pretty much does it for the episode, everybody. Thank you for listening. As always, if you would follow us on everything that you can, whether it be Facebook or Cartridge Club, you can talk to us on the forums there. Check out polykill.com. Go
all
to
that.
YouTube, subscribe to us, all that stuff. Drop us a line over at polykillpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter @polykill. I'm at Traff Plays Games.
I am at the McAxel.
And we'll catch you next week when we do those off-kilter. Scary ones. Send them in.
Peace.